Today's daf is Becharos daf mem. We are holding on daf lamed tes amud beis. We are at the Mishnah on the bottom of daf lamed tes amud beis. Today's shir is sponsored by David Ham in honor of his wife Margie, a listener. He is a listener from Yerushalayim, and also by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and also by the shul, by BKNW, in honor of the Play for BK raffle. So anyone who wants to help us out tremendously and also possibly have a chance to win some money should go to BKNW.org and please buy a raffle ticket within the next week. So we are holding at the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis. And the Mishnah is going to, we're going to have a whole series of Mishnayos today. And each of them is just going to discuss more and more Mumin that may possible a Bechor. We're going to talk about Mumin on reproductive organs first. That's going to be the Mishnah that we're going to begin with. Then we're going to see that there are three Nafkamina as far as the size of an Etzba when it comes to measuring. So we often use a measurement called an Etzba. So the Gemara is going to say the Nafkamina to know exactly what the size of an Etzba is. And the Gemara is going to give three possible Nafkamina. Then the Gemara is going to tell us about missing beitzim in an animal, whether that's a mum. And then the Mishnah is going to talk about, in the middle of the page, about the mumen on the legs and the hooves of an animal. And then the next Mishnah is going to talk about broken leg bones and three mumen that are subject to machlokas. The bottom Mishnah, number Aleph, is going to talk about when the bottom jaw juts out in front of the top jaw, whether that's a mum. And then on Amud Beis, the first Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to talk about the movement of the mouth and the tail of a gedi specifically. And then the second Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to add five more potential movement, and that's going to lead to a discussion about warts, which warts are a mum only on the eye, and which warts would be a mum not only on the eye but even on the rest of the body. And so one Mishnah after the other just about different types of movement that would make a bechor ro'i l'shchita. So says the Mishnah. We are holding again Lamed Tes Amud Beis at the Mishnah. Nifka Mazoven, if the word is the sheath. I think when I looked in our art scroll, it said that where the gid of the animal is, meaning not the gid itself, but the outer surface of the gid of the animal, is Nifkam Oha Ariya Shal Nekeva. Or the edge of the Beis HaRechem, specifically by a Nekeva, which obviously wouldn't be Nogea to a Bechor anyway, because a Bechor doesn't apply by a Nekeva, it only applies by a Zachar, so that's B'mukdashin. That's owned by other Karbanos, like by a Karban Shlamim, so which could be a Nekeva as well. We're just discussing what is a Mum and a Karban, so most of these halachos relate to Bechor, but that last one of Ariya Shal Nekeva is only by Mukdashin, only by other Kadshim, obviously not by a Bechor because it's a female. Nifka mazanav mina etzem, if a bone of the one of the vertebrae of the tail is nifkam avalomina perek, but that would be a mum avalomina perek. But if the pagam is in the prakim that are in between the vertebrae on the tail, that's not considered to be a mum because that we assume could heal itself. Osharosh zanav mefatzel es etzem. Well, let's say the tip of the tail is the skin is pulled off the tip of the tail and the flesh to the point that bone is exposed. So that's already considered malo etzba. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's considered to be a mum. Osha yesh basar michulio lechulio malo etzba. Or the chulios of the zanav are at least an etzba apart from each other, and that's going to be why we mention the shear of an etzba in the Gemara is because the Mishnah talks about a shear of an etzba being the space that the vertebrae are apart from each other that would be considered a mum. That's too far apart from each other. So the Gemara says, Amr Belazar Nifgam Velo Nital. We said if the Nifgam Hazoven, it's a mum. If the sheath is Nifgam, but not if it's Nital, not if it's entirely gone, because that can be healed, that can cure itself. Kiss velo zachrus, and we said dafka if the kiss of the gid of the behema is nifkam it's a mum, but not the gid itself. If the gid itself of the behema is nifkam, that is not considered a mum. We assume that will heal itself. Tanya nami hachim, we have a brisa that says like this: nifkam velo nital, kiss velo zachrus makes both of these diukim. The brisa says explicitly that only if it's nifkam, not if it's entirely entirely nital, and also only the kiss, not if the actual zachris itself, not if the actual gid itself. Amar Rav Yossi ben Meshulam, Maisa b'inbal echad shenitalo ze'ev v'chazalei sanav. That there was a story of a ze'ev that took away the zoven of another animal. It attacked another animal, and it was notel the zoven instead of being pogim it only, and then v'chazalei sanav, and it went back to being strong and healthy again. So you see that that's possible, that it can go back to being healthy after nital hazoven nifkam hazanav ben etzem. So we said that if there's the tail is missing a piece, or there's basar between each chulya melo etzba, that's going to be considered a mum. So tana etzba sha'amru, whenever we say a shir etzba, not whenever, when they said a shir etzba, sounds like referring to a specific time that Chazal identified a shir etzba. An etzba means one quarter of a tefach. A tefach is the height of your fist, counting the thumb on top of the four fingers. So one quarter of that height, which is obviously going to be a little bit wider than your regular fingers, than the four other fingers, because yeah, it's one quarter counting the height of the thumb above the four fingers when you make a fist. So one quarter of that is, on an average person, shokal adam, is considered to be an etzba. Says one of the Mayhilchsa. Legabe, what halacha is this brisa referring to? So the Brisker Rav in stencils raises the question, what do you mean by hilchsa? It's called all over the Torah. We always use a shir etzba. Lots of things are shir etzba. The shir of tuma of a beged is shalosh al shalosh esbos, is mekabel tuma. The shir chibur b'mikvah for megishamim, it has to be a nekev that's etzba ayim al etzba ayim. You're all over the place. You always have a shir etzba. So why do we have to ask l'maynaf gamina? There's an etzba. The Rambam, in fact, paskins in the 17th paragraph of Hilchos Shabbos, that whenever the Torah has a shir etzba, in Kala Torah Kulu, whenever Chazal tells us a shir etzba, it's always an agodel. So what's the Gemara's Shaila, that what are we talking about, that the Mainaf Kamina of the shir etzba? So that's in fact very difficult to understand. The Netziv in a Tshuva, Meshiv Davar, suggests that according to the Rambam, that whenever it says etzba, it's agodel, which is Revi'a Satefach, that Lamai Hilchos is that since the conversation started with etzba sha'amru, it sounds like there's some specific halacha that this was originally said in the context of, but in Chinami, we then apply it everywhere else. So etzba sha'amru, we're asking, what was the case where we first identified the etzba? In what context was it first identified? So okay, so says the Gemara, l'may hilchasa amar rabba le'inyan tcheles. The halacha was first mentioned with regard to tcheles. Tcheles is lav dafka tcheles, all over Shas. Whenever we say tcheles, it often just means tzitzis. That with regards to hilchas tzitzis, it's important to know the shear of an etzba. Titania, because we have a brisa that tells us the shear of tzitzis, kama chutin unosein, how many strings are you supposed to have in your tzitzis? Beishame omrim arba'a, you should have four strings in your tzitzis. And the way most we should understand it, it means folded over, which looks like eight then. And Beis Hillel says three strings in the tzitzis, which folded over, is going to look like six, right? That's what Tosis points out, that it's hard to say that Beishame's arba'a is two folded over to look like four, because then Beis Hillel's shlosha is actually, can't possibly be one and a half that's folded over to look like three, right? It obviously has to be the three that's folded over to look like six. So then Beis Hillel's shlosha would be more than Beishame's arba'a, so that can't be. So arba'a has to be four folded over to look like eight, like we do, and Beisil Shlosh is three folded over to look like six, which we do not do. The Kamatei Mishulash, so this is one of the cases where we pass on like the Beis Shammai against the Beis Hillel. The Kamatei Mishulash, and how much should it go down off of the edge of the beged, meaning you don't put the tzitzis mamish on the very, very edge of the beged, you lift it, you put it in the corner, but not all the way off of the edge. So how much should it be? How much space should there be from where the tzitzis are inserted into the beged until the edge of the beged itself? So Beishamiram arba'a. Beishami says there should be four etzba'os. Ubeisalomrim shlosha. And Beisil says it should be three etzba'os. That's at least how Rashi understands the Gemara's point over here, or the Bryce's point over here, that's what we're talking about. The distance between where you put the tzitzis in and the edge of the beged. Rashi has a second understanding, that it's how long the gedil should be, meaning there are two parts of the the tzitzis when you tie them. There's the gedil and the anaf. The gedil is the part that has windings and knots, and then the anaf is the loose hanging strings. So we're asking, is there a minimum length that the gedil itself has to be? So that's Rashi's second understanding. Others understand the Rashi Masechet Menachos is that we're actually asking about the anaf, how long the loose hanging strings have to be. Whatever it is, though, Beishameh holds it's four etzbos, Beisil says three etzbos, Ushlish Beisil Omrim, or the Shidduch Mbetzes has a girsa that Vishalosh Sha'amru Beisilel, meaning these three that Beisil are talking about, is Echem Me'arba B'tefach Shel Kaladam. Meaning when we talk about etzbos, we're talking about one quarter of a tefach of an average person. There's an interesting discussion Rav Zilberstein has that if a person goes to visit the kever of Hillel, when he's going to be mispalel by the kever of Hillel, should he dafka change his talis katan, because it's a chutzpah that he's going to go wear a talis katan with the beishamai shita when he's going to daven by the kever of Hillel? So apparently it's in Meron, right? Kevin, no, guys, he just got back. No, is it, what? You are not kever. Okay, so because he didn't want to insult him with your tzitzis, so the so. Hillel came to Rashbi also? Okay, this is beyond me. I'm not a, so if you go get a visit the Kever of Hillel, the Rav Zilberstein has a discussion, should you dafka not have four, because it's going to be Baltosif according to Hillel. So he shows that it's not Baltosif, that it's only Baltosif to have another type of string, but to add an extra string might not be Baltosif anyway. So even according to Hillel, it's not Baltosif. But he says, it's not so poshut that if you go visit the Kever of Rav Yehuda Bar Eloi and you haven't daven mincha yet, and it's after plag, that you're allowed to daven mincha. It could be that you got to wait till you leave Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi's kever, because Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi holds you're not allowed to daven mincha after plag, and it's a chutzpah, it's loig l'rush. You're going to go and right in front of him. Ba'asrei, in his place, you're going to go and he says, Maisa, the Kleisenberger Rebbe, went to Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi's kever, and he daven mincha after plag, and he felt so badly about it, he didn't have any rest from it until he went back and asked Mechila and daven mincha again before plag, not the same day, obviously, a different day, went back and daven mincha before plag, and then was more comfortable with it. It's an interesting idea. I don't know. Does it, they become the Marad Asra when they're buried in that place? Rashbi notwithstanding, right? Is there such an Indian that in front of the person's kever they have to, if they've been outvoted la halacha, they have to necessarily do what they say la halacha? An interesting notion. Okay, Rav Huna Bar Rav Yeshua Amar l'shtei amos, that when we talk about the shear of an etzba being one quarter of an average tefach, it's talking about the two Amma measuring sticks that they used to keep in the Beis HaMikdash. Titnan, because the Mishnah and the Maseches Kelim tells us that Shtei Amos Hayu B'Shushan Abira, they had two Amos measuring sticks in a room in the Beis HaMikdash that was called Shushan Habira. Wasn't not the actual Shushan Habira. Achas Al Keren Mizrachas Tzvonis, one was placed by the northeast corner. V'Achas Al Keren Mizrachas Dromis, and one by the southeast corner. Shal Keren Mizrachas Tzvonis, the one that was by the northeast corner, Haysi Yisera Al Shel Moshe Chatzi Etzba, was larger than the typical Amma, the real Amma, by half an Etzba. Meaning an Amma is six Tvachim. That's the Amma Shel Moshe. This Amma was six Tvachim plus half an etzba. Vishal Keren Mizrachis Dromis, and the one that's by the southeast corner, so Yisera Aleha Chatzi Etzba, was half an etzba larger than it. Nim says Yisera Al Shel Moshe Etzba, which means it was a full etzba larger than Moshe Rabbeinu's Amma. V'loma Hayu Achas Gedol V'Achas Ketana. Why didn't they just use a real Amma? Why did they have two measuring sticks that were purposely off, that were purposely too long, one of them by a half an etzba, one of them by a full etzba? Because Kshayum Ninotlin B'Ketana Machzirin When people would contract to do work for the Beis HaMikdash, they would be mekabel the work for the Beis HaMikdash, and the Gizbar would make a deal with them to build X number of Amos, and that they would use the typical Amma to measure, right? The Amma of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is an exact Amma. But after they finished their work and they came to receive payment, they would measure to get the payment, they would measure with the larger Amma, and that way they were were if there was any sort of human error, it would be accounted for, and they're not going to come to be nene from the Mikdash more than they deserve to, because they left margin for error on the other side where the workers will lose and the Mikdash will win. So that was the purpose of having amos that were a little bit larger than a real amos. Says, okay, but tarti lamali, why do you need two such amos? One that's a half an etzma bigger, one that's a full etzma bigger. So chadad de chaspa v'dava v'chadad de binyana. It depends what kinds of work they were doing. If they're working with silver and gold, it's really unfair to them to make it a whole etzma bigger than the regular amma. Every little inch of silver and gold is very, very expensive. So that we have just a half of an etzba difference. That's we make the margin a little smaller. Whereas the binyana, if you're building binyans, so then you're building walls and things like that. So you're dealing with stones, okay? So it's not such a big deal if it's off by a half of an etzba. Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak v'itema Rav Huna bar Nasan say that la'osa shashinu sheish basar ben chuli l'chulia melo etzba. A third possibility of why it is that we need to be told that an etzba is, or l'may hilchasa, that an etzba is one quarter of a tefach. For our Mishnah, the space between each chulia is a melo etzba. That's enough to make it a balmum. So that's where we say the din of an etzba. So three possibilities of where we say this measurement of an etzba being one quarter of a tefach, either by hilchas tzitzis, or by the amos measuring sticks that they had in the base of Mikdash, or for our Mishnah, and that's why we quote this whole sugi over here, because the third one is that it relates to our Mishnah, the space between the vertebrae of the tail. So, ein lo beitzim. Now the Mishnah continues with the other mumen of a bechar or of kachim. If the bechar doesn't have beitzim at all, o ein lo ela beitza achas, or it only has one beitza. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, im yeshol shnei kisin, yeshol shnei beitzim. If it has two kisin, has two separate compartments in the sack to be able to hold beitzim, then you can be sure it has shtei beitzim. Ein lo shnei kisin, ein lo ela beitza achas. But if it doesn't have shnei kisin, then you can be sure it only has one beitza. So apparently, everyone would hold that a behemoth that doesn't have beitzim is considered a balas mum. Now, we did have a machlokas in yesterday's daf, what the pasuk is talking about when it says ma'uch v'kasus, that Rabbi Elazar Yaakov held that it's a mum begid, is considered a mum begaloi, but a mum in the beitzim is not considered a mum begaloi. So we were discussing this possibility that any mum in the beitzim is not really a mum. So Chaznish just points out, yeah, that's a mum, but if it's entirely missing, then that's definitely considered a mum. Meaning if there's some sort of blemish in the beitzim, maybe that's not a mum. But if it's entirely missing, you see beferish in the Mishnah, then everyone agrees that that would certainly qualify as a mum. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Rabbi Kiva says, if it has shnei kisin and it only has one beitza, you don't know that it doesn't have shtei beitzim, that it's definitely a mum. What you have to do is moshivo al akuzo umemaich, you have to do some investigation. Im yesh beitza sofalatzes, and you do investigation, you look a little bit further up, and if there's a beitza in there, then ultimately it was going to come out, and if it's not yotzes, then it's a balmum. Maisa shemiyich v'lo yad. So one time they were memaich the kiss of a bechor, and the beitza didn't come out. They rubbed it a little bit to see if the beitza would be there, and the beitza didn't come out. Nishchata v'nimtzes tivuka b'ksalim. So they assumed it was missing a beitza, but then they shechted it and they found that it was stuck all the way up close to the kidney. V'hita Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva was matu the bechor ba'achila, even though as it turned out it had shtei beitzim. But since they couldn't find the beitza by being mema'ich, by doing their investigation while it was alive, that beitza is lo b'mekome, and it's not considered as if it's there. That's a real balmum, and therefore you're allowed to eat such a bechar. Va'as Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, no, it had shtei beitzim, so it was not a balmum. You weren't allowed to shecht it, and therefore you can't eat it, even though now it was shechted, and we understand why you made the mistake of shechting it, but you can't eat it at this point. So says Gemara, hashtei ein lo ela beitza achas amritz havimum. The Mishnah had said that if it in the second line, the second phrase of the Mishnah, Ein lo ela beitza achas is a mum, so then why do I need the first phrase of the Mishnah? Ein lo klal mibayi. First phrase of the Mishnah says if it has no beitzim, it's a mum. Obviously, if it only has one, it's a mum. Then if it doesn't have any, that it's going to be considered a mum. Marit Al Ghazi raises the question, why don't we just answer what we do all over Shas? Now, lozu abzu katani. The Mishnahs are very often written in the style of lozu abzu, that I don't even need to tell you if it's missing shtei beitzim, but even if it's missing beitza achas, it's going to be considered. considered a mum. So some of my achronim are medayik from lashon ein lo ella beitza achas, and it didn't say the lashon is it didn't say ein lo beitza achas, but ein lo ella beitza achas, which makes it sound like it's not a lozu avzu katani. Not sure, but that, the Gemara doesn't go with that answer. Instead, the Gemara says chisur mechzra v'hachi katani. There's something missing from our Mishnah. Here's how to read the Mishnah. Elo shtei beitzim b'shnei kisin. That's the key. It doesn't, not that it doesn't have any beitzim. Elo shtei beitzim b'shnei kisin ela b'kis echad. It does have shtei beitzim, but they're both b'kis echad. Inami shnei kisin u beitza achas. There has two separate kisin, but only one beitza. Harei a mum. That's going to be considered a mum. Then Rabbi Shmuel Omer, that which the Tanna Kama says, that if it has shnei kisim and one beitza, it's a mum, that's not correct. Yesh lo shnei kisim, b'yadur sheyesh lo shtei beitzim, because it's impossible. If it has shnei kisim, then it definitely has shtei beitzim. Eilu el kis echad, kimish eilu el beitza achas dami. And if it only has one kis, then no matter how many beitzim it actually has, we always view that as if it has only one beitza. Vas Rabbi Kiva lemeimer, b'yadur lo amrin. Rabbi Kiva says, we don't say that if it has shnei kisim, that it has to have shtei beitzim. You have to investigate. El moshivo, alakuvo, alakuzo, umemaich, imyesh beitza sofalatzes. You have to do this investigation to see if there is a beitza, then it would come out when you are memaich, the animal, when you, I guess, rub in that area. And if it doesn't come out, that's how you know that it's a balmum. And then the Mishnah told us the story that they were memaich and it didn't come out, and then they shechted the animal, and then they found it devuka b'ksalim. So what's the halacha? Is it about mum or is it not? So the Brisa elaborates a little bit more on this Maisa. Tanya, Amar Rav Yossi, Maisa b'piron shel beis Menachem. There was a certain place shemiech v'lo yatzas where they did this test on the kiss of a bechor, and no additional beitza appeared. V'nishchata, so they shechted the animal. V'nimtzis tevuka b'ksalim, but it turned out there was another beitza that was all the way up by the kidney. V'hita Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva allowed the bechor ba'achila, because he said, so since you couldn't find it through the standard test, it's considered to be a balmum, even though you found it totally shalom b'mekomo, in the wrong part of the animal. V'am Rabbi Yochum Enuri, Rabbi Yochum Enuri said, v'asar Rabbi Yochum Enuri, rather, Rabbi Yochum Enuri asered it. He says, no, this animal is not a balmum, and therefore the shechita was not done properly. Amalur Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Yochum Enuri, Rabbi Kiva said to Rabbi Yochum Enuri, an masay atam mechal monim shal Yisrael, why are you asering something that's totally mutter? You're not being careful enough with the Jewish people's money. It turns out that it was a balmum, and even though we through the normal badika it was a balmum, and even though we later found a beitza that was attached all the way up, the mum is not batal, it's still a mum. How long are you going to be machal nevelos to the Jewish people? It says my nevelos, that seems to be the wrong issue. Lav mishchat shachte, was it not a shechted animal? Of course it was a shechted animal, it's not a nevela. El treifos, no, what he meant is treifos. Love is a treifos. So we're not talking about treifos over here. All of these things, important to realize, you know, a lot of this may sound similar to things we learned in Eila Treifos. It's an entirely different list. This is about a mum for a carbon. It's not, these animals aren't treifos. So that's not a treifa. Ela an masayat amach lisrol kach mechut. No, what he meant to say is, how long are you going to be machil kachem mechutz? Because this is not a, this bechor didn't have a mum, and therefore it still retains its full kedusha, and you're not allowed to eat kachem kalim outside of Yerushalayim. So by you being matir, you're being machil kachem mechutz. And what the Gemara is drawing our attention, what the Brisa is drawing our attention to over here, is that very often you think that by being machmir, you're being safe, and by being mekil, you're being risky. No, a lot of times in halacha, very often, most of the time, that by being machmir, you're cutting corners in some other area. So, you know, you want to say, oh, let's be machmir, and we'll just say you can't eat it. But then you're being mechalam amon shal Yisrael. So, no, I'm going to be mekel, I'm going to be good to the Jewish people and not be mechal. But you have to be careful, make sure that you're not having kachem b'chutz, that there has to be great precision and great accuracy in paskening these halachas. The Mi'iri has a lashon maseches chulin, that kol shaba'o hara lefrei chacham, ve'ef shalo lahatir berevach, belo machlokes, Misha roy lismach lov ein roy lo lischasid v'lachzer achra chumros yosem yidai. That if you have a good tzad to be mekel and you are a bal hara'a, you're not allowed to be machmir yosem yidai al yachus al mamonim shal Yisrael. Sha'af ha-Torah chas al mamonim shal Yisrael. That a posek has to be careful to realize that it's people's money at stake over here. So you can't just be machmir, even though there's reason there may be a tzad to be machmir. There are people that only look for chumras. All the time I'll get a shayla, someone will say, is this mutter or asr? So I'll text back, mutter. And then they'll text back, even l'chadchila? You know, like they're not happy with mutter. So sometimes people are interested in chumras, but if a person is not interested in accepting upon themselves extra chumras, so then a person has to be very careful about other people's money. And kal v'chomer, emotional well-being and other things. Okay, says the Mishnah, Bal chamesh raglayim, losheinu al shalosh. If an animal has five raglayim, or only has three raglayim, the sharaglav klutos kishal chamar, or its hooves are round like that of a chamar, that's considered a mum, because a kosher animal doesn't have round hooves. V'ashachl v'akosl, and a shachl and a kosl is also a mum. Okay, what's that? Ezu shachl, shenishmita yirecho, that its thigh is dislocated. V'kosl sha'achs mirechayim gvohos, that one of its thighs is higher than the other one. Amrav huna lo shanu el. This idea that we said that if it has five raglayim or shalosh raglayim is only if the problem is in the front of the animal. It's in the forelegs of the animal, aval beregel, but if it's in the hind part of the animal, trefa nami havi, then forget about being a balmum, it's worse than that, it's a trefa. To call yeser kenotl dami, because any time you have an extra limb, it's as if that limb is not there. So yeser is kichaser, and a behema that's missing a leg, minar kuva lamaila, is a trefa. So if it's missing a hind leg, so that's going to be a trefa. So if it's actually missing it and there are only three legs because it's missing one of them, is vaday trefa. And even if there's an extra one, that's kinatul, and therefore it's also going to have the status of a trefa. Amrav papa lo tema da agilan velo sadikan, el kima da agilan afal gav de sadikan. When we say that if it has a round hoof, that it's also going to be a balmum, that means even if it's a split hoof, but it's a round hoof, so it doesn't perfectly, it's not perfectly identical to a non-kosher animal's hoof, but nevertheless, it's round like a non-kosher animal's hoof, that's enough to make it a balmum. Shachul v'akosul, tan rabbanan, ezehu kosul, ve'ezehu shachul. Shachul is shenishmata yirecho, that it's dislocated thigh. Kosul, sharaglo echad b'toch ha-kesel, v'raglo echad l'gabe ha-kesel. That one is in the socket, and one is above where the socket should be. Tana, so we learned in the Braisa, when the Torah goes through the mumen of a behema, and it says, Sharur said that Sarua v'kalut, right, so that it's lo yiratzeh, so Sarua v'kalut, Sarua means sh'nishtarbe v'lo yirecho, that one of its thighs is bigger than the other one, kalut sharaglav klutos k'shal chamar u'k'shal sus, that its hooves are round like that of a non-kosher animal, like a chamar or a sus, and that is a mum as well. Next Mishnah, Nishbar etzem yado, if a bone in its foreleg is broken, ve'etzem raglo, or in a hind leg, aval b'sheinu nikar, even though you can't see from looking at the animal from the outside that the bone is broken, that's a mum. Mumin elu mana ila biyavne v'hodulo chachavim. These mumin, ila was the name of a person who was an expert in mumin, listed these mumin in yavne, and the chum agreed that these are in fact mumin. Va'ochlo shahosif, amrlo lo shamanu ela es elu, or lo shamanu es elu. That depending on the gears, but they both mean the same thing. That they that he added another three, and the Chum said to him, "We never heard of those three. We only heard of the first two that you mentioned." Shagalgal eino agul kishal adam. That one is that its eyes are round like a human eyes, and not slanted like an animal's eyes. V'piv domek shal chazir. Its mouth is shaped like a pig's mouth, with the top lip overhanging the bottom lip. V'shenit al rova medaber bilshono, or most of the part of the tongue, the loose part of the tongue, not the part that's attached, is missing. That's called the medaber, because people use that part of the tongue a lot when talking. Bezen shalachrei, even though animals obviously don't talk. Bezen shalachrei amru harezemum, and then a later Bezen said, like Ela, that he was correct about all of these things, and those three additional ones that the Chum never heard of in Yavne, Ela was right. Those are in fact amum. Einon nikar mikavi mum. It says, well, wait a second. We said a broken bone in a leg that you can't tell by looking at the animal is amum. Why is is it a mom if it's Einu Nikr? Amar Papa, Einu Nikr Machmas Atzmo, Aval Nikr Machmas Melacha. You can't tell when you look at the animal till you see the animal try to walk and do things. Once you see the animal try to do things, it's walking with a severe limp, then it's a mom. Mumin Elu Mana, so we have Ela listed these mumin, and then he listed another three that we mentioned in our Mishnah. Lemeimer Delav Hainu Orche, is that to tell me that it's not normal for an animal to have round eyes? Or Aminu, I'll ask you a stira. There is a Mishnah Maseches Nida that tells us the following. Hamapelas min behema v'chayev ha'of. If a woman has a miscarriage, but what comes out of her looks like a behema, chaya, or an of. It doesn't look like a human form. Bein temein, bein taharin, whether it looks like a non-kosher or a kosher animal, im zachar, if you could tell that it's a male, teshev lezachar. She has the status of someone who's yoled lezachar, which means she's tameh for 7 days and then tahar for 33 days. Vim nekeva, if you could tell that it's a nekeva, teshev lenekeva. Then she has the status of someone who gave birth to a nekeva, 14 days of tumah, 66 days of tahara. But any odua, if you can't tell whether it's a zachar or nekeva, teshev lezachar or nekeva. You have to div ramei. Ramei says you have to take the chumras of both, which means 14 days of tumah followed by only 26 days of Tara, because the Yimei Tara will only last until day 40 from the birth. That's Rameir Shita, and that's the one we're going to discuss. The Chachamim in that mission disagree and say, if it doesn't have a Tzuras Adam, it's not a Vlad at all, and there's no Tumas Leda whatsoever. But Rameir Shita is that there is Tumas Leda, Va'amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Om Rabbi Yochanan, my time with Rameir. Why does Rameir hold that when you give birth to a Min Behema, you have Tumas Leda? Hold the Galgaleno Ogul Kshaladam, because it's eyes at least resemble that of a human being, and therefore it's somewhat human. So bottom line is, you see that it's the derech of a behema, something that looks like a behema, to have human-looking eyes. How could our Mishnah assume that a behema that has human-looking eyes is a balmum, and that it's so unusual? So Rav Yosef lo kasha. Habu uchma habichivra. It depends whether it's in the black or in the white. In the black part of the eye, the black part of a behema's eye is round like an adam, but the white part of the eye is more elongated, not like the eye of an adam. That's that's one interpretation, at least, of what the Gemara means with that answer. There are other interpretations as well, but we're going to go on. Upiv domik shel chazir. If its mouth is like a chazir, that's also a mum. Some Rav Papa lo tema de shafid viparus. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's both a round mouth and that the upper lip overhangs the bottom one. Even if just the upper lip overhangs the bottom one, but the mouth is not round like a chazir, that's enough of a mum. It doesn't have to be exactly identical to a chazir snout. And if most of the tongue is missing, so masisimani Rabbi Yehuda, that's assuming like Rabbi Yehuda, Tanya, veshenitel rov lashon, Rabbi Yehuda omer, rov hamid Dabr Shalashono, that the Tanakhama said that it's Rov HaLashon in total. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, just the Rov of the Midaber of the Lashon. Umaisa Shalech Yatach Tanodiv Hale Elyon, Vishal Ram Gamliel New Mishnah. They asked Ram Gamliel, Vishal Ram Gamliel Cham, Ram Gamliel asked Chamim, when the lower jaw jutted out in front of the upper jaw, Va'amru, and the Cham said, Arezemum, that's considered a mum. So, my time at Diktani Umaisa, what about the previous Mishnah led us into this Maisa with the jaw jutting out? It sounds like we're building off of something that was previously said. Mishum Detnan, because the previous Mishnah said that Piv Doma Lechazir, Opligi Rabbanan Le De Rebbe, that if its mouth is like a chazir, that's a mum, and the Rabbanan disagreed with Rebbe, and they said that that would not be considered a mum. V'ka'amrinan. So now they're saying in our Mishnah, the whole machlokas is only if the upper lip overhangs the bottom lip. But if the bottom jaw juts out in front of the top jaw, so then that is considered a mum according to everybody. And then in fact, in this maisa, they asked such a shayla and it was a mum. But when it comes to a mumin of an adam, what does it mean, mumin of an adam? By kohanim. The kohanim, there's a mumin that would pass the kohen from avoda. So it says, Svasal yono, devasal tachtona, oh, shetachtona, devasal yona, hare zemum. If either one juts out beyond the other one, it's considered a mum. Sounds like Abay Adam Hu Tichsiv Ish Ish Mizara Aaron, that it's specifically a mum in the world of human beings, because the pasuk says by Kohanim Ish Ish Mizara Aaron, and we darshin Ish Sheshava Bizara Shal Aaron, that he has to look like all other people. So if the lower lip juts out beyond the upper lip, it would be pasul. Avol bebehema lo, but the implication is that would not pasul a behema. That's not a real mum. Samra papa lo kasha. It's not a stira. Hadi is be etzem, hadi lespa etzem. When the Chum say that the lower lip jutting out is considered a mum, that's only if there's bone there, that it's the jaw that actually juts out. When we say that the lower lip jutting out by an adam is a mum, but not by a behema, that's where there's no bone over there. It's just the fleshy part of the lip that sticks out beyond the upper lip. That's where we consider it to be a mum by an adam, but not by a behema. Next Mishnah, ozna gdi shaysa kfula, if a gdi has a doubled over ear. Amru cham bizmanshu etzem echad, if it only has one etzem, over here etzem probably means cartilage, then mum, then it's considered about mum. Bizman she'en bo etzem, eino mum. But if it doesn't have etzem, then it's not considered a mum. Meaning, if it's not separated by etzem, then it's not a mum. Rabbi Chanan ben Gamliel omer, zon of a gedi shu doma l'shel chazir, a tail of a gedi that looks like a pig's tail, v'she'en ba sholosh chulios, or it doesn't have three chulios, it's too short, it doesn't have three chulios, harei ze mum. That's considered to be a mum. So Tan Rabbanan, piv balum, if you have a swollen lip, a swollen mouth, viraglav mivulamos, or swollen legs, machmas haruach, and that happened as a result of ruach, eino mum. That's not considered a mum, because a mum that comes about as a result of ruach, when the atmospheric conditions change, the animal will get better. So it's not going to be a mum kavua to shech the bechara in order to be po de kachim. Machmas ha'etzem, but if it's because of an etzem in the mouth, or in the, meaning it's big bone, then it's got swollen bones, and that's why these parts of the animal look exaggerated in terms of their size, sahareis ha'mum, then it is a mum. Aznav kfulos, bechasus achas, if it has doubled over ears, but there's one cartilage area, hareis ha'mum, that is a mum. B'shtei chaschasios, ein mum. With two cartilage areas, then it's not considered a mum. Ram Gamliel omer, zanav agadishu, domel shel chazir. Then Ram Gamliel said, the tail of a gadi that looks like a pig's tail. Amra papalote me de katina, ela de kricha. It doesn't mean that the zanav is very narrow, very skinny. Pig's tail is very skinny. It means that it's round like a pig's tail. Avogav dalima, even if it's much thicker, not like a pig's tail, but just the shape itself, even if it's not so skinny, would be enough to make it a mum. Oshein b'sholosh chulios. We said if it doesn't have three full chulios, then the tail is like it's missing. Samar avuna begedi shtayim hareiz a mum. In a gedi, if it has two chulios, it's a mum. Shalosh ein a mum. Once it has three, it's not a mum. On a tleh, if there are three chulios, it's a mum already. It needs to have four for it not to be a mum. So meisvei, so they ask on Rav Huna, it says in the Brisa Begedi, achas harei ze mum. If it has only one chulia by a gedi, then it's considered a mum. Shtayim eino mum. But if it has two chulios in the zanav, then it's not considered a mum. That's already long enough. But tleh, shtayim harei ze mum, shalosh eino mum. And by tleh, if it has three, it's not a mum. So tiyufta to Rav Huna. This is a tiyufta on Rav Huna, because Rav Huna had said that the numbers 2 and 3 apply to a gedi. Now we're saying, no, it's 1 and 2 by a gedi. That 1 is a problem, but 2 is going to be fine. It's going to be long enough of a tail. So Rav Huna Masnisin at Isay says, Gemara, you know, Rav Huna made a mistake based on our Mishnah, because Iu suffered midereisha b'gedi. Our Mishnah began by talking about a gedi, so he thought that since the woman we were listing in the Mishnah related to a gedi, seifanami b'gedi, the Mishnah continued to discuss a gedi v'lohi, but it's not true. Reisha b'gedi v'seifa b'tleh. The first part of the Mishnah was about a gedi. The seifa was about a tleh, where we said that three chulios is enough chulios to have in the tail for it not to be a balmum. And two chulios is not enough, but by a gedi, even two is enough, and only one is not enough. Rabbi Chanan ben Antigonus Omer, new Mishnah. Rabbi Chanan ben Antigonus tells us five more mumin. As sheyabelas be'enav, it has some sort of wart on its eye. V'shenifka me'etzem yadav raglo, there's a notch or a missing piece from a bone in its hind legs or forelegs. V'shenifrak atzmo shel piv, if the jawbone is broken, eino achas gedola va'achas ketana, if not the jawbone, I guess it is the jawbone where the teeth are connected by the gums, eino achas gedola va'achas ketana, it has one large eye, one small eye. Machlokes Rishonim, does that mean that one has to be larger than average and one smaller than average, or just one larger than the other one, but one of them is actually just an average size? Azlo achas gedola va'achas ketana, one large ear, one small ear. B'mara avalo b'mida, this does not mean you have to take a microscope and measure that they're exactly the same size. It means that it's obvious that you look at it and you see one is clearly larger than the other. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, shtei beitz avachas gedol k'shtayim shebechavirta, and Rabbi Yehuda says there's another one. Another mum is if it, of its two beitz, and one of them is more than twice the size of the other one. V'lo hodu l'cham, l'cham did not agree to Rabbi Yehuda that counts as a mum. So the member of the having mum. Wait, do we mean to say that a wart is considered a mum or a minu? But I'll ask you a stira that the Mishnah we're going to have in tomorrow's daf. Ve'elu shein shochtin aleim lo b'migdash v'lo b'medina, and the following things are possible for a carbon, and they're not considered a full mum though to allow shechting b'chutz either. Bal gerav bal yabeles. So you see that a yabeles is not a real mum to allow shechting a b'char. So says Mar Vitzra. You want to tell me that a yabeles is not a mum? Haksivi yabeles baraisa. It says yabeles in the Torah. Pasuk says averes o shavar o charetz o yabeles o garav yaleves lo zakrivei l'Hashem. So it's absolutely a mum. Elo kasha. Habagufo habaena. When it says that a yabelis is not a real mum, that's talking about a yabelis on the body. A yabelis on the eye is a real mum. So michti, krastama, mali begufo mali beino. Pasuk just says yabelis is a mum. Sounds like anywhere. Sounds like even on the body it should be a mum. So I don't know if we buy that answer. So it says mara elo kasha. No, the answer is as follows. Ha de ispa etzem, ha de lespa etzem. When the pasuk says the yabelis is a mum, even if it's on any part of the body, that's talking about where there's a bone in the abelis. When it says that the abelis is not considered a real mum, unless it's on the eye, that's where there's no bone. And that way, dekra, when the pasuk says the abelis is a mum gamur, even on the rest of the body, de ispa etzem, masnisin. And when the Mishnah says that on the eye it's a mum, that's the lespa etzem. Be'eno havi muma, beguf ala havi muma. So if there's no bone in it, it's only a mum on the eye, it would not be a mum anywhere else on the body. The lesla etzem, begufo, psula. Frank the Gemara, if it doesn't have a bone in the yabelis and it's on the body, is that going to pasul l'akrava? Like the Mishnah had said that lo b'mikdash. Our Mishnah didn't just say that it's enough of a mum to pasul, that it's not enough of a mum to make it kosher to shecht the medina. It said you can't shecht it in the mikdash either. So apparently it's a real problem. But if it's just a piece of flesh that's hanging off the animal, why would that be considered a mum that you can't shecht it in the mikdash? That if there's an extra piece of flesh hanging down, that's no good for a kohen who wants to do the avoda, but for a behema it's fine. Now we have to say that both of the Mishnayos are talking about in the eye, the lokasha, habishach or habalavan. When the Mishnah says that yabelis is considered a mum, it's talking about a yabelis on the black of the eye. When it says yabelis is not considered a mum, it's talking about a yabelis on the white of the eye. V'ha'ein mumin balavan. Aye, but didn't we learn that there are no, the klal is, there's no such thing as a mum on the white of the eye. Eli idi v'idi balavan. They're both on the lavan. V'amrei shlakish lokasha. Had ispaseyar, had lespaseyar. When it says that you can't shecht it in the mikdash, it's talking about a yabelis that has hair. Since it has hair, it's very maguna, and it's like a mum that you wouldn't shecht with in the mikdash. But since it's on the white of the eye, it's not a real mum that would allow you to shecht the bechor bachutz with. But it's disgusting enough not to shecht it in the mikdash. Whereas if it's lespaseyar, so that's that when the Mishnah said that there's no mum belavan, that's the lespaseyar. When our Mishnah said that a yabelis is an absolute mum, it's talking about a yabelis that was on the black of the eye, and only on the eye is the yabelis considered a mum even if it does not have a bone. On the rest of the body it's only considered a mum if it does have a bone. Eino achas gedola, so we said if one eye is large, one eye is small. Tana gedola kishal egel ke tana kishal avas. A large eye means the size of an egel's eye. A small eye means the eye of an avas, the eye of a goose, right? That's what they say when it talks about milchik bread. The Gemara says that if you make it ke'ein tura, the size of the eye of an ox is a small enough piece of bread that you can make a milchig and not worry about forgetting it. So yeah, it's small for a piece of bread, but it's large for an eye. So that would be considered a large animal's eye. Ozno achas gadol, if one ear is larger than the other. So, and then Rabbi Yehuda said, if one of the beitzim is twice the size of the other, and the Chum say, no, that would not be considered a mum. V'rabbanon ad kama, how big does the second beitz have to be over the smaller one for it to still not be considered a mum, or to the, where's the cutoff point? Tanya achir mar mafilu eina l'shnia ela kapol k'sheira. Even if the second one is only the size of a little bean, it's going to be kosher as long as it has shnei beitzim. It's going to be kosher according to the chachamim. Okay, we will stop there. And Hashem will pick up at the Mishnah tomorrow.